Welcome to the One-Off Technology Podcast with opinions, news, and views. On this podcast, we talk about technology topics and how they affect you. I'm your host, Roy Richardson, and each week we will feature an entertaining guest to talk about different topics. Now let's begin the show.
Hey, and welcome to the One-Off Technology Podcast. For those who are counting at home, this is episode 3 of season 2. Can you believe we made it back to a second season? But we keep getting so many people downloading our podcast. I've actually had to start paying Amazon money. So this is great. For those who don't know, I used to think that iTunes actually hosted our podcast. And then when I got into podcasting, I found out, no, they don't host anybody's podcast. They just say, look, you can go here and subscribe, but your storage problem is somebody else's problem, yours.
Yeah, I always thought that iTunes held all that stuff. It was only when you and I started talking about that I realized, holy crap, no, they are actually just linking off to other sources.
They're just linking off to other sources. Yeah, I don't know how they make money exactly off of this. I don't know. They haven't sent me a bill for anything, so...
Well, they probably won't until you charge for the podcast.
Right, and I don't plan to ever do that. You can't pay for this good of quality.
No, you cannot. So,
and if you could, you couldn't afford it.
That's right.
So, I host Amazon S3 is where all the podcasts hide, and in their cloud storage, and they charge you based on number of downloads, but their pricing is just so amazing because it's like 0.002 per gig. And so, but when you have 2,000 people download your podcast, that adds up to a little bit of downloads.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? I can still afford it. The last bill was 23 cents.
Okay.
You guys are worth it.
We're not going bankrupt yet.
We are not going bankrupt. You guys are worth it.
I'll throw you a quarter the next time I see you.
All right. Now, if we ever get so popular that I can't afford to keep it going, then it's probably time to bring in sponsors.
Yeah.
And I'm reluctant to do that because I don't want that to spoil my editorial rights. So it'd have to be somebody, it'd have to be a company that I really, really, really trust.
So in other words, not an internet service provider.
Not an internet service provider, which brings me to what this episode is all about.
Really?
Yes.
This episode. You would think we planned it.
I know. This episode is Net Neutrality is Going to Die and Privacy Too. Or as I like to call it, hashtag privacy lost.
Yeah.
As you may or may not know, if you've been living under a rock or you have used Facebook as your news source, you may not know that in the last couple weeks, the FCC has changed the rules. And you probably didn't know there was a rule, but there was a rule. The rule prevented your internet service providers from using your browsing history and selling it to third parties.
So you mean now they're going to take my bad habits online and use it against me?
They're going to take your bad habits online and use them against you in order to sell you advertisements, to create a digital profile of you, to try to figure out how to get into your head.
So the thing that hasn't really been well understood for me is how exactly they're going to sell me ads, because typically, I think of most websites as having their own profile or service that feeds them ads, and they just get served up as content, that there's not really any thought or customization going on in the background.
So I'll give you an example. So a few years ago, I used to be with an internet service provider. We won't mention names, CenturyLink. Who would rewrite the web page on delivery to show you their ads instead of the ads that originally came with the web page.
So is that their site or is that other sites that they're interpreting like man in the middling?
So they're doing a man in the middle on websites that I was visiting and taking over where the banner ads were and putting their own ads. And the only way I discovered this is that Chrome would fuss about too many redirects. I could look at the exact same page in Internet Explorer, and it's like, I don't care. Whatever you want to do is fine with me. And I'm just presenting the stuff that's sent to me. So Internet Explorer could care less where your data was coming from. But Chrome was like, hey, there's something funky going on here. And it's doing some crazy redirects. And it would only happen on certain sites. But it's kind of like when you're watching a cable show and then the cable provider has put in some local advertisements.
Yes, where they replace the ad spots.
Well, they've replaced the ad spots with their own in order to sell ad time. And that is exactly what was happening with CenturyLink. And then the other thing they were doing is every time I would do a search, they would redirect my search to their search engine.
Oh, that's crummy.
It was. Now, the way I got around it was to stop using their DNS servers and using Google's.
Yes, that's an easy way around that.
That was how I got around that. Now, you know, granted, that means I'm sending everything I do through Google. But the bright side for those, and we can talk about Google has its own privacy issues. You are the product. Yes, within your emails, they are searching and coming up with ads to present to you. Yes, this is happening. But you volunteer for that. And I'll explain why that's different than what your ISP is doing.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, what ISPs are doing now is nothing that Facebook, Google, Bing, you know, all those other services out there haven't already been doing for a really long time.
It's true. And we'll talk about, you know, there's always tracking cookies from websites and that type of thing that's always going on. So you're never completely anonymous, but the issue about your internet service provider having access to be able to get your browsing history is that they can, unlike Google or Facebook, who only know about the sites that they're setting up tracking on, your ISP knows everything. There is nothing that leaves out of your router of your house that your internet service provider does not know about.
Correct. Unless.
Unless.
You use a VPN.
We're going to talk about that. I have that topic as well.
Okay. All right.
I will leave no stone unturned. So the point being is that, and you have to think about it. So as the internet has gotten more and more focused on doing HTTPS or SSL, in other words, secure browsing, where your connection between your web browser and the web server you're connected to is encrypted over that SSL cert, they are only able to capture that you visited that site. They will not, your ISP currently, unless they spend some money on some expensive equipment, currently do not have capability of seeing where you go if you're on an SSL connection to a website. Anytime you see HTTPS and you got that big glowing green in the left corner there of the address bar that shows you have a secure connection, then that's what's going on. You're connected there. And they know where you go, but they do not know what you view while you're there. So
right.
If you go to Breitbart,
Please don't.
But if you do, then they'll know you went to Breitbart, but they won't know what you read while you were there.
Right.
So, you know, if you go to yahoo.com, please don't. Let Yahoo die. Especially yeah. if they're going to change their name to, what is it, the Oath?
I haven't even followed them on Verizon, any kind of news.
So. Verizon has been for a while buying Yahoo, and they already own AOL, and they're planning on merging those two companies together to form one company.
I didn't know that you could put that much suck in one spot, but okay.
You can, and they're going to give it a name, and the name sucks.
Okay. So, well, as long as they're perpetuating the black hole of awful that was both of those services, then I'm still on board.
Yeah, once they get it merged together, then my advice would be to go edit your Etsy host file. And just tell all sites that go to those sites to redirect to nothing. I know that's technical. We'll talk about that at a later date. But anyway, so there's that happened. So, basically, as you know, our newest president put a new person in charge of the FCC, and this FCC person is very, let's just say, pro-business. Because that's
I was going to say corporate shill, but you know, yeah, go ahead.
And you're right, but he's spinning it as pro-business. And his thought process is that the internet service providers shouldn't be regulated, and they should be allowed to sell your advertisements. Now, as soon as that was signed into fact, which the president did sign off on allowing this big change, well, it went through Congress and was passed. So. And he signed the bill that allowed this. So this is legit. This has already happened. You missed it. We didn't even know it was really happening. And we didn't have time to comment because the new Congress works faster at passing bad laws and never passes good laws. So the great thing about having all the same party is that you can pass bad laws that make no sense to most people a lot quicker than you can good laws that require a little bit of discussion. And so
now I thought, and I could be very admittedly wrong on this. I thought that almost all the changes to like FCC rules and whatnot had to go out for public comment before, they were allowed to be changed.
Yes. Well, see, the problem has been is that the FCC has had issues kind of exerting their authority. The presidents in the past through executive orders have either increased or decreased the FCC's authority. And so under previous president, it was lobbied really hard that ISPs should be regulated like telcos. So
that, I agree.
So that everybody had equal protections. And so that, you know, rural areas got support as well as metropolitan areas. And so it was a more even thing. The telcos are required to compete. And granted, you don't see a lot happening, but the competition has made what has happened possible. And probably the best thing that ever happened for the American people was AT&T being broken up into 1,000 baby bills, because that wound up with true competition and phone bills dropped down, and now calling long distance is pennies compared to how it used to be. Now, the cell phone providers have taken up the slack and have jumped in and now extort you for calling international. But if you can call on the landline, you can actually call pretty cheaply or use their voice over IP service.
I think one of the big differences, though, between like, you know, your phone service, AT&T, Verizon, any landline service provider, those all have competition. There's always more than one player in town that you can go with for your service. When it comes to cable providers, though, the map is already hard set and drawn that, nope, this is Comcast territory, this is Charter territory, this is Time Warner territory, and never will you have more than one cable provider option in the same location. There may be other services that you can get, like you know, DirecTV and those sorts of things, but in my eyes, I don't consider that really competition for the cable providers, because the cable providers aren't competing against themselves at all.
You are completely correct, and there's a word for where companies go in and on purposely say, we're going to only market in these locations and you can have the others. It's called collusion.
No, that's such a dirty word.
It's such a dirty word, but it's true. It's you've got the cable company saying, look, I'm not going to go in that territory, so it's yours, so you can rip people off any way you want. We'll rip people off any way we want in our area. For example, when Comcast was looking to buy Time Warner, they said, well, we don't, Time Warner's in New York and we're in Los Angeles, so, you know, us buying Time Warner's not going to hurt competition at all. Well, that's true, because Time Warner didn't have any competition.
Right, there was so never any competition to start with.
There never was any competition to start with. If it was going to be a situation where Comcast was going to be competing against Time Warner, okay, that might have brought competition, but with Comcast buying Time Warner, no. That is the opposite of competition. That is, I took away your choices, I gave you less choices, you're going to live with it because I own the cable that runs under the ground to your house. So, yeah. Now, so that's already a done deal. Privacy's lost, and we're going to talk about ways you can protect your privacy here in a little bit later. But another topic I want to bring up, because it's reared its ugly head, and it is going to the FCC. The FCC chairman, the new one that's in place, pro-business, or business chill, depending on which way you want to phrase that, is pushing to kill the net neutrality rules. Now, you may not know what net neutrality means, so let's talk about that. Net neutrality, and I know Chuck does, but I just mean our listeners, you may not know, but he's heard me rant before.
Yeah, you can still explain it to me. It's fine.
Okay. So anyway, net neutrality is everybody gets equal access to the internet. So, for example, you pay to be able to host your website on the internet. You get same access to the internet pipes as anybody else. But, as happened in the past, say, for example, Netflix. Now, Netflix is a hog on bandwidth on the internet. It's definitely one of the largest providers and probably should have some skin in the game when it comes to their services, to how much bandwidth they use on the total internet. But you pay for your pipes to the internet. Comcast, a few years ago, was strong-arming Netflix to say, look, you need to pay us because we use so much of our bandwidth. And Comcast actually slowed down Netflix traffic in the middle of the negotiations as a strong-arm tactic to convince Netflix to pay them more money. Now, imagine
Wait. Yeah. You're telling me that a big corporation essentially resorted to extortion? No.
No, that never happens. Thank goodness companies aren't greedy.
Exactly. Greed's not a thing.
Greed is not a thing, thank goodness. I don't know. I think every company should be allowed to make money, but I think there needs to be a limit. And I am a sicko. I think customer service should be part of the product. And you should be willing to substitute a little bit of profit to make sure that your customers are happy. They will continue to be customers for a long period of time if you do that. But that's a different story.
I was going to say, the other side of that is you just make sure that your customers have no choice except you. And then customer service doesn't matter anymore because they have to use you.
Comcast and Time Warner have notoriously been rated worst in customer satisfaction. And yet they control the majority of the internet in the United States. So, take it for what it is. All right. So, the point being is that, let's say, for example, you're starting up your very own Netflix streaming service. And you're not calling it Netflix. You're going to call it Boba Flix or something. Maybe you feature movies like Deliverance and, I don't know, Monster Truck, that new movie that came out, the animated, well, it wasn't animated, but the Monster Truck movie, you got to market. I'm going to market to people that like four-wheel drive trucks.
I was going to say, Bubba Flix sounds like a service that would serve you up all the videos and capture the hold my beer moments.
That would be awesome, and I think you're on to something. We should, that's a... Last thing
We'll edit that part out later.
But anyway, no, I think that's great. We'll edit it out. We'll leave it. No, we'll see. So anyway, the point being is that so Bubba Flix wants to have its streaming service on the internet. Well, Comcast comes by and says, that's a pretty nice internet service you got there. People probably gonna like that, but you're gonna have to pay us extra to run your bandwidth over our service. So your competition out there, I don't know what the competitor to Bubba Flix would be. My brain doesn't jump that far.
No.
But anyway, so there's a competitor to Bubba Flix that shows all the cooking channels that use Coca-Cola as the main ingredient. So it's the Coca-Cola Recipes channel. That's a streaming service that shows you all the cooking videos that involve Coca-Cola as the main ingredient in food. Go with that. So anyway, they are going to pay for them to get faster access to the internet so that their service can beat yours.
So it's kind of like I can get theirs in HD high def and no buffering, but my poor Bubba Flix, they're going to be, throttled and buffering and restricted to 480.
Your user experience is going to suck because... Yeah. Comcast or evil cable empire is throttling your bandwidth. With net neutrality, every company gets equal access. Nobody's throttled. You don't have the mom and pops getting squashed by the big companies. Everybody gets the same level of access to the internet, and nobody gets throttled. Nobody, I mean, without net neutrality, a company could say, I'm going to throttle the following websites. Let's say, for example, you have a ISP that is very liberal. Well, they may go off and limit the heck out of Fox News. Fox News, for some reason, if you go to Fox News, the website quality is not so good. I don't know why. Chuck, you still there?
Nope. I'm not. I checked out once you mentioned Fox News.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can understand that. Anyway, so they're slowing down Fox News for some reason, because they are liberal, and therefore they're using their service to slow down Fox News. Okay? Or, yep. Let's say, for example, you have an ultra-conservative internet service provider, and they are throttling the New York Times, so that New York Times user experience sucks when you go visit their site. Now, the hard part for an internet service, for the content providers like the New York Times or Fox News, is that they have to prove that the internet service provider is doing that to them.
Yeah, and I would imagine it's a little hard to prove that your experience is poorer than someone else's content in specific areas on specific providers.
But luckily, the internet level sets lots of things. And if you have enough people complain in a certain geographical area, then you got to say something is up here. What's the commonality? And you go to Reddit and everybody will compare notes and come up with the answer.
Yes.
Or go to Twitter.
So that's where it actually starts to become a good thing that the cable companies divide up all their area, and everyone that is getting to the internet in this specific area is most likely going to be, you know, a specific company's customer.
So, you know, it's not fair. I want my Netflix to stream to me without restriction. Now, then you have companies like T-Mobile who are giving preferential treatment to certain streaming providers. Now, some would argue this is a violation of net neutrality. Since net neutrality is probably going away, it doesn't matter, but it just, you know, pot called the kettle black type thing. So if your cell phone provider is allowing certain services to stream for free without penalty on your data, then they're basically getting preferential treatment, which is another form of violation of net neutrality. Everybody should get equal footing. Now, granted, I love the fact that T-Mobile and others are going to allow you to stream Netflix and, you know, Pandora for free and not eat into your data, because these days the whole unlimited data thing is a lie, and so you're going to pay for it. There is no unlimited because they're going to make you pay for it, but, you know, the freedom to be able to use your internet on your phone and not hit your data is cool. But the point being is that really, to be truthful, net neutrality should be equal for all, and everybody should have the same expressways to the internet as anybody else. And that's where we are.
Yeah, I'm speaking of T-Mobile's thing. I think it was AT&T has recently introduced a new service that lets you, as the consumer, downgrade the video playback of whatever you're watching so that you use less data, but they don't do the throttling on their side. You know, they give you the choice of whether you want to turn that on and have a reduced quality of video, or nope, I'm going to burn through all my data in 4 hours watching this, you know, HD stream. So I kind of like that they give the consumer the power, and that they're not the ones making the choices of who's going to get throttled and who's not.
And I agree. I think that's a good customer service friendly type thing for AT&T to do, which is very strange. But you know, I'm glad they did it. But yeah, I mean, that's a very valid point. It's like, how do you do it? So the FCC chairman is planning to repeal the net privacy rules, the net neutrality rules. I'm sorry, And so I've posted a great many articles on the link for this particular podcast. So if you want to read up and see and find out if I'm just talking out of my head or is there really a conspiracy going on. There really is this conspiracy going on, and there's enough newspapers of different political persuasions that posting similar information for you to decide, yes, this must be a real thing. And sooner or later, Facebook may start showing it in their newsfeed. We'll see. So
probably not.
Probably not. It's going to be right there by the fake news.
Mm-hmm.
But now, the big companies like Google and Facebook and Amazon and all of them, of course, want net neutrality to stay in place so that their streaming services can all get equal footing. And, you know, I can understand that too, that the big cable providers who pay the most in lobbying, well, other than military contractors, do not want net neutrality because they want to make more money off cause, you know, making people pay more. You know, for example, you'll notice everybody's offering gig internet or 100 meg internet, which not in my area, but, you know, they're it's only happening in a metropolitan area where it's convenient for them. But, you know, it's strange that we have such disparities in how much it costs to pay for internet in different parts of the country because of the way the world is set up in the U.S. Went off the rails.
It's all right.
All right, so but, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, thinking back to the changes that are going into effect with net neutrality and the privacy, there's a big difference between why Google and Facebook and those companies have always been able to sell your browsing history and monetize it in whatever way they see fit, and your ISP doing it, is you don't ever actually pay Google or Amazon or Yahoo, God forbid, for the use of their service. The only way they make money off of it is monetizing the data that you provide to them through profiles, browsing history, etc. With your ISP, you are already paying them for the privilege of using their service. So the reason a lot of people are getting grumpy about this is that now the ISPs are essentially double dipping. They're charging you up front for the use of their service, and then they're going to monetize on the back of it what you actually use their service for. And that's where I think it gets really gross and dark for the ISPs monetizing your browsing history.
Yeah. And I see a day, as this continues to go down the rabbit hole, that your ISP is going to say, for $5 extra a month, we won't sell your browsing history.
Yeah, I think they have to give you the option to opt out, but nobody says what that option has to be.
They do not have to give you an option to opt out. Not from anything I've read. If you found something different, I would definitely like to see it so I can post it because I want to make sure we're fair on this topic. But no, you don't get to choose that. Now, an interesting group of few people have done some GoFundMe and some GoFundMe campaigns to try to raise money to buy politicians' internet browsing history.
Yeah, I've seen those. One of the ones that popped up for me was, I think it was Max Timken, the guy from Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah. So once the data gets out there, that's great. But the catch is, initially, ISPs are going to anonymize your data to a point.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
They're going to try to skirt privacy laws to sell your data, but they're going to try to strip off data about you. Now, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's mostly what they're handing out is demographic-type data. You know, this cable customer is, you know, male, and he's in the range of, you know, 25 to 35 and, you know, that sort of thing. So it's not like they're going to be handing out, you know, this is Roy's browsing history right here. And if you want to buy Roy's, you know, browsing history, that'll be $5. It doesn't work quite that way, at least not yet.
Right. All right. So that leads me to, how do we protect ourselves? And the question is, it's a value judgment. Do you want to protect yourself? And if you decide that you do, then one option is VPN. VPN stands for Virtual Private Network. So the way VPN works is that your internet connection, you establish a connection with a VPN provider. Now, in a corporate world, probably people are used to VPN connections like a Cisco or Fortinet, and use a VPN client, and you connect up to the VPN, and then all your traffic goes through your internet service provider to the VPN provider, and then your VPN provider is encrypting everything that you're doing. So in that world, your internet service provider would not be able to see where you're going on the internet.
Right. Now, the only thing they would see is that you are going to a VPN provider.
They would only see that you're going to a VPN provider. Now, the VPN provider, if they're reputable, is anonymizing your data on their side, and so they don't know what's what. And with the fact that there's encryption involved, the process to break down the encryption would take a lot of money, a lot of computing power to be able to drag out and see where you actually are going. So to them, it's a VPN connection. You connect to them, and then from that VPN server, it then goes out to the websites that you're going to and brings that data back to you. And all of it's encrypted, so you don't see it. Now, VPN can be so much more useful than just protecting your privacy. How about when you go to your local coffee shop or, you know, Starbucks, and you get on their free Wi-Fi?
Which, public service note, don't do that.
Don't do that. Well, unless you're using VPN. Why? Because all of your traffic that goes through their router is seeable by others if they have the right equipment. And it doesn't take a lot. It's super cheap. Your 12-year-old probably has a laptop that can do it now. Okay, just going to tell you.
I'd have to have a 12-year-old first, but okay.
All right. So the point being is that if you got a small child with the computer skills, they can go and capture your wireless traffic. So all your banking information. So let's say, for example, you check your bank account while you're at Starbucks, while you're on their free Wi-Fi. All that traffic is going through there. You are so open to hackers at that point. If there's a hacker just happens to be in your favorite internet cafe or coffee house, and he's just sitting there waiting to capture your username and password for your bank account, so that when you're not around, he can go to your bank account and withdraw all your money electronically. Isn't ones and zeros amazing how easy we can move cash around?
Yes.
So with a VPN connection, you're hiding all of that so that they can't get that. So let's say you still connect to the free Wi-Fi at Starbucks, then you immediately connect through your VPN provider. You are now encrypting all your traffic, and now you can surf the web essentially safely.
So doesn't SSL essentially do the same thing, that if you're connecting to a secure site over a public Wi-Fi, that data is also encrypted?
The answer is yes, but there is some traffic that would be in plain text for part of that transaction, and also it is much easier to crack a internet router than it is to crack the internet in general. You would have to really have stuff in place to be able to crack the connection in the man-in-the-middle attack between the person and their bank. But if you have access to the router, the wireless router in the Starbucks, you can pull down all that data and just slowly go through and decrypt all the traffic and find out what their username and password are. Gotcha. Also, the other thing that happens is that sometimes you go to a coffee house, and somebody will set up a rogue wireless access point, and it will say, oh, free Wi-Fi. And you'll think, oh, this must be the one that they're providing here at this shop. I'm going to connect it. And they on purposely have set up a honeypot to capture all of your information.
Oh, the honeypot.
Oh, the honeypot. Yep. So that is just, it's bad. It's bad. So I strongly encourage VPN connectivity, especially when you're using free Wi-Fi, because everybody and his brother now is using free Wi-Fi because we don't want to use our data, because the cell phone companies now have us, our arms twisted, saying, well, you know, that 2 gig of data we sold you is about to run out. We're going to charge you 4 times what it costs for you to get the next gig. And so
if we're advocating the use of VPNs, do we want to throw out a VPN service that people can go look at?
Well, I'd rather throw out a link to PC Magazine's rating of 2017's best VPN providers.
Okay.
And let people make a choice, because I will say that I don't have a lot of experience with VPN providers. The use of a VPN has just, it's a recent thing that I finally said, okay, yeah, I'm paranoid now to the level I need to be, and I'm going to do a VPN provider. And I'll be glad to tell you when I pick one, which one I pick, but I think people should make their own value judgments and read reviews and try to find, I find PC Magazine for the most part to be an impartial judge on things, and they do a good job of their reviews. And so they usually have like an editor's pick, and then they've got, you know, that type of thing. So I think that's good. I will tell you that right now, I'm looking to see which one they pick. The editor's choice is from PC World, PC Mag. They're saying that Nord VPN and Private Internet Access VPN and Keep Solid VPN Unlimited and Pure VPN are their editor's choices.
I'm surprised Tor was not on that list.
Tor is on the list, but it's not an editor's choice. It's they have TorGuard VPN. Now, the issue with Tor, and everybody, in case you don't know, Tor is a VPN-like thing. It basically creates onion layers around your connection so that people can't see where you're going. However, the CIA, the NSA, and the FBI seem to have deep hooks into Tor and have compromised Tor. At least based on articles I've seen out there about things that are going on and perception of what's going on. And so, you know, if you're not doing anything nefarious, then, you know, any of these providers would probably work just fine for you. And Tor is if you're really doing something you shouldn't be doing, probably, right? I don't know. But, I mean, if you're paranoid, Tor is a method, you know, to kind of protect yourself. But I don't like using Tor because it's too much associated with nefarious things, like pirated content and that type of thing. So I don't want to get painted with a brush where people say, oh, look, he's using that bad service and doing bad things probably.
Oh, you're going to get painted with a brush.
Probably. It's true. But, yeah, just that's where I'm at.
Actually, the way the internet works, you probably won't get painted with a brush. You'll get painted with a paintball gun.
It will be a paintball gun. It'll be like Splatoon.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, it'll be just like that. Everybody and his brother will shoot you with different colors of paint. You'll call them trolls, but they will shoot you with different colors of paint. So,
only if I get the cool hair can you call me a troll.
Yeah. Now, I'd give you the link for the PC Mag, but they put numbers in their links, and so it'd just be, it almost seemed random. So anyway, now if you do a Google search on best VPN providers, you're going to see, if you're on Google, you're going to see ads, and then you're going to see down, you'll see PC Mag. Make sure you choose the one that says PC Mag 2017. That would be the one that I recommend. And so, to go look at, and they will tell you about different internet service providers. Now, most VPN providers provide a VPN client for your mobile device. You need to be concerned about security on your mobile device. Yes, you're doing internet banking on the free internet at your coffee provider, and all that traffic is encrypted after it leaves the router, but it's not necessarily encrypted inside that wireless router that you're going through. So you have to be concerned that people might be monitoring your traffic. So,
my advice would be don't do banking in public unless you have to.
Yeah, I'd recommend don't do anything in public unless you have to.
Well, also yes.
Sorry, because somebody probably has a camera and it'll be on YouTube.
Could be. Also, people sometimes can just be, well, people.
Yes, and peoples are the craziest peoples.
They are.
So, yeah, so anyway, all right, so what are your action items coming out of this? Now, there is an amazing YouTube video that I highly, highly, highly recommend. I will admit that context-wise, it's a little dated because it's from 2014. John Oliver, Last Week Tonight's net neutrality episode. And I gotta warn you, there's some really horrible language, but the great thing about it is that he paints it just the way it is. Now, the result of his original broadcast is that so many people commented on the FCC's plan to do away with net neutrality that they brought the website down. But in the end, the FCC got the message, oh, people care about net neutrality. And which was amazing because at the time, the FCC chairman had been a former cable lobbyist. Tom Wheeler, yeah. Tom Wheeler was a cable lobbyist at the time. And so for him to ultimately say, oh, the people must really, really want this net neutrality thing. All right, we're going to make that a thing and we'll keep it. And the president at the time supported that. But now everything's a new administration. And while the hope is that this is a thing that will come up for comments, the problem is that from time to time, Congress has swayed different ways to say the FCC has a right to regulate things. The FCC has no right to regulate anything. And so if Congress should pass a bill, then your only hope is to contact your congressman and say, net neutrality is important to me, you bozo. Please vote the right way. Or and please vote this down.
And I've done a little reading on the best way to get your voice heard. You know, it's always good to send emails, send letters and whatnot. But apparently from some articles I've read, the best way to get their attention is to call. When you call and talk to their staff, that gets the message heard more than the millions of letters and emails that they get every day. So if you're really passionate about this, call your representatives.
And as has happened with the current political environment, congressmen are starting to ignore their phones more and more, and so faxing is also a thing.
No, it's not.
Yes, I know. It's 2017. Why does anybody send a fax anymore? Why does anyone send a fax? But your congressman has a fax machine.
Actually, I think that says a lot about the people that we elect to Congress, that they have fax machines.
It totally blows my mind. So that is also another methodology for getting in touch with, looking for different things. But yeah, it's just, you know, aggravating because you have such a non-technical Congress in place. And right now the political leanings are so pro-business and so non-consumer that it's toxic.
Well, it's like I was reading this morning that there is, I believe it was a Republican representative out of Wisconsin. He was holding some kind of a town hall type meeting with his constituents to talk about this very topic. And his comment somewhere in the town hall was, well, no one has to use the internet. I just think, what planet are you living on where you don't have to use the internet? You know, job applications, most of the shopping, I mean, you can look at the retail collapse and see that most of the shopping happens online. You know, the world is online these days. There's no world in which you can live where you can say, you know what, that whole internet thing is just a fad. I'm just going to let that pass me by and just wait.
I don't know why the businesses want to squash, you know, people's access. I don't understand that because, well, they probably hate it because you send them emails. The internet thing is bad because people email me and tell me how much they hate the things I'm voting for or the bill I sponsored. They think it's a bad idea and, well, I don't agree and I don't want to listen to any valid arguments. So therefore, I'm just going to ignore my emails. But everybody should have access to the internet in this day and age. Admittedly, is it as important as water and food and housing? Okay, no, it's not. But we have created a new technological world where it is impossible to live without the internet. My parents have had to get on the internet to do banking. Now, my dad loves it now, but it used to be that people didn't want to get on the internet for anything. Didn't want to order anything online. Oh, that's dangerous. Don't want to do that. And I'm an idiot. I've been ordering online as soon as that was an option. You know, and but the thing is that you've got to be so careful. You don't want to take away people's internet access. In fact, I think we should lobby hard for every single person in this country to have access to broadband internet, because I think it causes an educational divide for people. You know, it's as if the libraries of the world are open to everybody because they have internet access. The museums of the world are open to everybody because they have internet access. And if they may never get an opportunity to travel anywhere, the internet gives them the capability of getting to places that they could never imagine ever going.
Yep.
And so I think the benefits outweigh the risk.
Yeah, and I was kind of quietly reading while you were talking to fact check a little bit before I spoke, but the UN has made a stance that internet access is a basic human right at this point.
Well, and you know, it's I would argue it's at a level of freedom of speech.
Yeah, and that's where they're coming at it from, is that everyone needs to have the right to the internet because of you know, discourse and access to media, and you know, being involved in, you know, politics and free speech and that sort of thing. That's where they're driving it from.
Yep. So, all right, folks, your action items are to send emails, letters, call and fax your congressman and tell them net neutrality still matters in 2017, and not to let a political environment make a decision that is more geared toward a practical thing. Common sense. Common sense says we should be able to have net neutrality. And common sense says we should have privacy, the right to privacy. It is in the United States, it's in the Constitution that we have the right to privacy. And unfortunately, more and more privacy lost. And so go and get you a VPN provider. Connect to VPN through your cell phone and your laptop. Anytime you're in those free places, to protect yourself, not just from privacy issues, but also from hackers. It's a benefit both ways. And so, right. You know, this is my recommendation on how you should go.
Be safe out there, kids.
Be safe out there. Use a VPN. Practice safe browsing.
That's right.
So.
All right, cool. Then.
I think we beat that topic to death.
I think we have, and hopefully the public is better for it.
That's my hope, too. I hope. Because I'm worried about where the world's going. I have been for some time, but it's, you know, where is it going?
You have a 12-year-old. You have to be worried about the future.
I do have to be worried about a 12-year-old. I want him to be able to get to the crazy websites for Minecraft that he absolutely needs to go to.
That's right.
I don't know if I want him going to Overwatch websites, but we'll talk about that. Let's just wait and see. Or
Overwatch is fine.
Or Mass Effect Andromeda.
Don't go there. That's no good. Andromeda is off limits.
Yeah. Plus, it's gotten bad reviews.
It has, and rightfully so. I actually am just about to finish that game, and it is a stinker.
Yeah. So, plus, who wants to pay full price for a stinker? We wait till it drops down to $10.
That's right. Wait for it to go in like a bundle sale and just buy all the Mass Effect and then play the first three and ignore that this one ever happened.
And the first three rock.
They did. They were really good.
They were. Yeah. Yeah. Which is, yeah. So. But I also won't let them play Grand Theft Auto, so. I'm a horrible parent, aren't I? But anyway.
No, probably a good parent that you don't let that happen.
I try to help filter things for my child, so. And that could be another topic for another show. But
yes.
All right, guys, go out there and practice safe internet browsing. Get your VPN connections. Call your congressman. Let them know. Doggone it. Don't take away my net neutrality. I want my Netflix as fast as I can get it possibly sent to me, because that's what I want. And my Bubba Flix. I do not want Bubba to have problems getting the internet to me.
That's right. We need to watch those Hold My Beer videos.
Yep. Why y'all watch this? Anyway. All right. Great. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Chuck, for hanging out with me on the podcast again. It's so much more interesting when you're here.
Oh, that could be taken so many ways, but I'm gonna take it as a compliment.
I'm gonna go compliment. That's what I meant. So, yes, because my jokes fall pretty flat, so I need yours to bring the levity. Anyway, all right. This was episode 3 of the One Off Technology Podcast. Look forward to episode 4. I'm not gonna give any spoilers away, but it's coming, and you're gonna like it. All right,
That's right.
guys. Thanks, and you have a wonderful week out there in Podville. Bye.
You've been listening to the One Off Technology Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Look for other episodes of our podcast coming to a podcast universe near you.